You're listening to the Morning Brew with Stu Podcast, and here's your host, Stuart Brooking.
And here we go. Welcome to the Morning Brew with Stu. As always, I'm your host, Stuart Brooking, and we're taking a break from interviewing coaches from all levels across the game of football, and we're going to do a movie show. Not that I want to take a break from football, because, you know, I love football, but sometimes I think it's nice to switch it up a little bit. But as always, anytime we talk movies and football, my guest today is usually the one that's on. It's the one, the only, Jeff Hunt. Jeff, welcome back. And another movie episode. Nobody else I'd rather talk movies with than you.
I appreciate that, man. I'm just coming off, like, when people listen to this, I've just watched the Oscars. Great. 2023 was a great movie year. Great director. Some really, like, we kind of had a little dip in the movie experience for a few years. And then really 2023 was like, okay, we've kind of figured this out. We figured where the money's going to come from. People are relaxing. People are accepting CGI in, like, live action movies now. So, like, the mix isn't throwing everybody off. So now you can do some wild things. So we just had a great year with some big stories and big movies, a great Oscars. And then you text me and you hit me with this, and I couldn't be more excited to be here. As much as I love talking football with you, we can argue about quarterbacks all summer. This is going to be fun.
Yeah. It's we're doing our action movie draft today. Real quick, to go back on the movie experience before we get into this.
Yeah, let's do this.
I did read something where Disney is considering, or at least there are serious talks in Disney about pushing their new movies that they're going to be coming out more towards theatrical releases, yeah, as opposed to coming out on, like, Disney Plus or other streaming services. So right when we thought, man, COVID killed the theaters, Disney, one of maybe the biggest movie company, is saying, hey, we're going to try to maybe single-handedly, you know, revive it.
Well, it feels like the formula now, and they're starting to figure this out. Like, you know, the movie industry is always going to figure it out. Like you said, for a while, we thought, that's it. Theaters are dead. Nobody's coming back. But then, like, all of a sudden, Barbenheimer changed the world. Like, honestly, that was when they're like, okay, people, here's what we found out. People want to go see good movies. They don't want to waste money on average or less than average movies. And what Disney learned last year was they took a chance and surprisingly made Poor Things, which I just watched yesterday. One of the most unique experiences you'll ever see if you haven't saw it. But Disney made that movie. And believe me, it's not a quote unquote Disney movie, people. But they made it and made $100 million. Won Oscars, you know, a best actress for Emma Stone, all these things. So now Disney's like, well, okay, wait a minute. Maybe if we make really smart choices, people will go see the movie. We can make a profit. We get to put it on our platform, you know, later on. They're going to take a shot with, you know, the a big one for Disney Plus coming up is what's it going to be? Wolverine versus Deadpool. Huge swing.
It's gonna be in theaters.
Huge swing for Disney. If that works out, then they're like, okay, we've got a formula. Well, here's the formula: get this thing out there, get people to see it, and then get it quickly to your streaming services so they can start rewatching it. That's how they're gonna rewatch it. So, which is good for people like me, people like you, that like the big movies. Plus, we like, you know, we like the smaller, you know, smarter movies. This is how we can have a world with. The $400 million, you know, superhero movies, and also our $10 million, you know, a great speech by one of the Oscar winners last night about, like, sometimes make, you know, $10, $20 million movies instead of a $200 million movie. Let everybody get a piece of the pie. And I think we've established after last year a world where this is possible. Plus, the streaming services are putting so much money into it now that there's really blank checks out there between Apple and Netflix and Amazon, you know, to take some swings and misses. It's a good spot to be in. We've got a lot of great young actors, a lot of great, you know, a variety of actors, you know, from all, you know, different parts of the world. I'm actually as optimistic as I could possibly be, like you say, coming out of, you know, the few years at movies we thought we were in deep trouble.
Yeah.
But today we're not talking about any of this. I'm talking about.
No, well, I actually went back to the theater for the first time in a long time this past weekend, saw Imaginary. It's a good movie. It's a good scary movie. So if you want to watch, if you're into scary movies,
I still love a movie theater experience. I still really do.
I miss it all. Me and my wife, when we started dating, that's like every week. That's what we did. But like you said, I just don't want to pay for some average movies. And I feel like there's been some average movies out lately.
The next one I'll probably go see in the theaters is the new Kong movie coming out at the end of the month.
Yeah, seems good.
I went and saw Skull Island. It didn't make my list, so I'm going to go ahead and say I went and saw Skull Island. It's one of my favorite movie experiences ever. I snuck some beverages in there like a weirdo, and it was so much fun. So like experiences like that in the theater are what I'm down for. So I'll probably go see the next Kong in the theater.
All right, time to get to the show. We're going to do an action movie draft. I did put stipulations on this, and I said no superhero movies because to me that's a separate genre. But when you look at some other rankings or you look at some other list, the Dark Knight's on there, Dark Knight Rises is on there, Marvel's on there. So I wanted something that stood on its own that was not superhero movies because, yes, those technically are action movies, but we don't need to hear Avengers Endgame as a top three action movie all the time when we already know like it's going to be top three. So let's remove it from the list and let's do strictly action movies.
I like it. Even though Dark Knight did have one of the greatest action scenes in the history of the world. I don't know. I love the motorcycle armored car chase is one of the greatest scenes ever filmed. Shout out to Christopher Nolan for just winning his first Best Director Oscar the other night for a great Oppenheimer movie.
All right, Jeff, I'll let you start it out.
I can't believe I get to start again.
With the first,
this is crazy.
With the first overall pick in the draft for action movies, Jeff selects.
I went with the 80s classic. I think it's the culmination of brute force 80s action drama with enough storyline, and then it's also carried on into a franchise of its own. I took Arnold Schwarzenegger and my man, you know, shout out to Carl Weathers, Predator. It has everything. And again, I'm old enough to remember like it coming out and the impact that it had and how good it looked. You know, it's cheesy, but it's honestly like if you just read the story, it's actually a cool story. And then now that Predator has lived on, we know like more about, you know, the predators and everything. It looks good. It's got everything you want. Arnold was at the top of his power. I watch it every time it's on, no matter when I catch it. I could not think of a better choice that if I had one action movie left to watch, it's Predator.
Yeah. And that's a good one. I couldn't agree more, with your ranking. I still like, it's a movie I saw not too long ago, and I thought the same thing you did. I was like, man, this still holds up for a movie that came out in the '80s.
Yeah.
Some '80s movies don't do that. And this
100%.
So yeah,
good. But actually, like a couple things it has, the look of the Predator with the invisibility, like still looks good, still looks cool. And then you got the Arnold suiting up. You always got to have the gearing up for the final battle scene. It's got one of the greatest one of them. It's got all the one-liners. It's got all the, you know, the heroes. It's got all the cheesy stuff you want. It's really just a perfect silly action movie.
Yeah, for sure. Jeff, I will say this. I don't think I said this before, but I will say it now. If there are multiple installments of this movie, each installment counts as its own movie.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good, because that's what I did. So
if you say Terminator or you say Rambo, you don't get all 8 or 12 Rambos. You get
just the one. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Specify which Rambo or which.
We're on the same page.
Which leads me to my pick, and I'm going to go with John Wick, the first one. And I think what starts off as one of my favorite movie series of all time. And I know I've said some things about this movie that may come off as controversial, but it's not because I hate them. I love these movies. I just don't want them to turn into the Fast and the Furious where John Wick starts fighting in space and all this type of stuff. So
you don't like Ludacris in space. What are you talking
about? Oh, come on, man. My favorite, but yeah, so John Wick, the one that starts off my favorite movie series of all time, is John Wick.
Fantastic movie. Love it. Great choice. Great choice.
And I will say, this kind of is one of the few, because there's a lot of action movies that don't have a storyline to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I like, and that's why I put it so high, first of all.
You have to have stakes.
There's a story behind, like, you can't just go and kill a bunch of people just because you feel like killing a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Like, what's the story behind, why is John Wick going on this murderous rampage? And the movie tells the story why, and it leads into making four movies and a fifth one coming out. So that's the thing for me that really puts this movie where it is.
I like it. That was some of my criteria too. Like, I got it. There has to be stakes. I have to care if you live or die. And some people may not make it. Some people will make it. John Wick's one of the, it's actually one of my favorite movies of all time. So, I mean, it was definitely on my list somewhere. That's obvious. So for number two, I went, and for everything you just said about John Wick, I say the same thing about this movie. It's one of my favorite genres. It's one of my favorite books. It's one of my favorite characters. I went with Daniel Craig's first James Bond installment, okay. Casino Royale. It's the opening action scene is great. It's a lot of practical action. A lot of my movies are very practical action. Nothing wrong with CGI, but like you said about superhero movies, they're more of a, you know, a cartoonish thing now than a lot of practical action. But I care about the story. I also love the book. Characters are great. You know, people get hurt, people get lost. You know, there are stakes. They're at the end of it. They're, you know, it's not, you know, it's not just a ribbon on it. So, I just love Casino Royale. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. And then when I really think about it, it's got a ton of great action scenes. One of the great car wrecks that's ever been on film, you know, in that movie. And then, just everything about it, the final culmination of everything. It really, it kind of paces the action great. Like, you've got segments of the action. You get to know the characters a little bit. It's got sexiness. Like, you got to have some sexiness in your movie. So, Casino Royale just nailed it for me. That's my number two.
Listen, Jeff, don't, please don't hate me.
I will not.
I don't see how I can. You're probably going to be like, how can you call yourself a movie fan? But I've, honest to God, never seen any of the James Bond movies. And it's because I feel like it's one of these things, and like, I want to, and eventually I will, but I don't, first of all, I don't know if there's an overarching story. And so it's one of these things where it's like, do I need to go back and watch the very first James Bond through the eight different actors all the way up to Daniel Craig and all the way up to this new one to kind of know what's going on? Are there pullbacks from other movies that I'm going to be lost on? So like, I've never watched these movies. But I will say, from everything that I've gathered and I've read and I've heard, a lot of people feel the same way you do about this one.
So the James Bond series is a series, or the Daniel Craig is a series. Everything else is a one-off. You can just pick up and watch, and it's just a James Bond story. But the Daniel Craig series does have a start and a finish. And I would highly recommend, as crazy as it is to say it, because some of the movies are silly, very few of them are serious. A lot of them, like the Sean Connery years, very problematic. They're enjoyable movies, but they're definitely they're definitely from a different time. If I were you to dip in, I would start with Daniel Craig, Casino Royale. And even if you just watch that as a one-off, I really think you'll enjoy it as a really good movie.
All right, we'll do. I'm going to go with another kind of, I'm going to say, relatively newer movie. Can I say that if it's 17 years old? But I'm going to go with Bourne Ultimatum. I love the Bourne series, and I love all this to have. Like, I just love it all. I think, you know, another great series like John Wick, Jeff, where we look at it and we think, you know, these action movies are great, but they tell a story overall, and it's not just a bunch of action. And Bourne Ultimatum, in my opinion, maybe I'm, you know, going with the mold here, but Bourne Ultimatum is my favorite one out of the mix.
Yeah, I like them too. I like all the Bournes. I really couldn't pick one for my list. So, just spoiler alert, I don't have any on my list. As much as I really enjoy them, I really like them. But it's, and I like the stories. I love a good, like, you know, secret weapon, you know, manipulated person. Like, I like all those stories. I've got one on my list. It's probably not going to make our show, but it's similar to that. But that's a great choice. Love the Bourne movies. There was a Jeremy Renner one that I was, you know, a little cold on, but I still watch them. I still love them. So that's cool. So
with the fourth overall pick, Jeff, you select.
I'm taking this one. I know you want it. You ain't getting it. And I got lucky. John Wick 2. Okay. I love John Wick. as a movie more, but as an action movie, John Wick 2 from start to finish, you know, is just a ride. I love the characters. I love everything, you know, after he gets disavowed, like just on and on, the great death scenes. I absolutely just even the way it films, the way it looks, the way it sounds when he goes to Italy, you know, and the like all with Common, you know, the battle with him and Common, everything from start to finish, this movie. I saw it in the theater. That helps. Like, you know, you just have a different memory. I remember anticipating it. Weekend it comes out, me and my buddy and my wife, we go see it in the theater. And to go see it in the theater and to have the expectations that you have and for them to be exceeded gives you that feeling of like, this is one of the greatest movies I ever saw. I love John Wick 2. I like how it ends, even on the cliffhanger. It's one of my favorite movies of all time, and it's definitely one of my favorite action movies of all time.
Yeah, Jeff, me too, man. And
I knew you love it. I know you love it.
My favorite one is later on in the series, and hopefully I'll still get it.
I haven't saw four yet, so don't ruin it.
It's farther down. Okay. Well, my favorite one is later on in the series, and I had the same reaction you did. I've actually seen 3 and 4 in theaters.
Yeah.
But I love 3 and 4. I love 2, honestly. I know I picked 1 as my first pick. I think 2 might be my favorite one. Well, was my favorite one before.
Yeah.
Whichever.
Two's, it's just, all really good. 2's just fantastic.
Here's my thing, Jeff. I didn't have the privilege of watching 1 and 2 in theaters. So I had to watch them on DVD with my friends.
There you go.
What drives me nuts? Like, I can't do it. Like, I'm strict when I watch movies. Like I have some. People probably think I'm a psychopath. I know my wife does, but
you definitely are.
Here's the thing, man. Like, I had some friends. We watched it in college. We had some friends. They own some guns or whatever. And they're counting the bullets that John Wick's shooting. They're like, oh, that's not realistic. I'm like, shut up. Who cares? It's a movie.
Yeah, who cares?
Like, if I wanted movies to be realistic, it's like.
Yeah, watch a terrible war movie.
Yeah, we could, like, nitpick everything. For me, yeah, the action's great in John Wick 2, everything.
We should do a watch-along sometime with John Wick 2. That'd be fun.
Hey,
we should do that.
1,000%.
My favorite part of the movie, and again, like, I love this in my movies. They have to have the gearing up. When he goes to get the suit, you know, before he goes to Italy, it's just one of my favorite, like, 5 minutes in you know, and you know, it just a great, just a great movie. So much fun stuff. Hits so many buttons.
I think I'm going to go with another Keanu Reeves movie just out of the John Wick franchise.
Oh,
the question becomes, am I going with the one that starts with an S or am I going with the one that starts with an M?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because I'm going to go with The Matrix here because I think The Matrix is one of my favorites that Keanu Reeves has ever acted in. Obviously, I think next to Speed, it's one of the ones that really put Keanu Reeves on the map as far as an actor goes and those types of things. And I look at that Matrix and I say, man, that version of Keanu Reeves is like just the best version, I think. I love John Wick. I love the version we're at now. But I think as an actor, there's so many things he could have acted in. I would have loved to have seen that version of Keanu Reeves play the Dark Knight, play Batman. That would have been cool. But we never got that opportunity. But I think Keanu does a great job. He really makes you believe it. And anytime he's on screen, dude, I love The Matrix. We're talking about the first one because they did make 2, I think 3.
Yeah. I think they wound up making, I think, a total of 4 because they made one just not that long ago.
Not too long ago.
Now, these aren't movies that I rewatched that I don't like. I even missed. I think I missed the last one, or maybe I did watch it. But what I will admit is I really liked the first one. I thought it was super cool. I agree with everything you said. It's not one of my favorite movies, and I wouldn't put it on my list. But I do think that it's a really – and it kind of kicked off a different type of movie. So I do give it credit for, like, everything was different after they made The Matrix. I give a lot of credit when a movie, like, starts setting the standard. Because that was a long time ago that movie was made. And nothing's been the same since. Now they're like, okay, here's what they found out. We can go outside the box and do some wild stuff, and people love it. They like you said, they don't care about the reality of it. They don't care about any of it. Do they like it? And the Matrix killed it at that. And Keanu Reeves made a boatload of money, and he's been able to do whatever he wanted since. And we wouldn't have John Wick if he didn't make the money he made on the Matrix and set him up for life.
I completely agree. Go back to John Wick real quick, because you were talking about movies that changed things. He's changed things in two different films, him and Ben Affleck. And I say that in Ben Affleck's Batman, in that action scene in the warehouse versus in Batman versus Superman, for those of you who haven't seen it, changed how movies were shot. Just go back and look 4 years earlier at The Dark Knight Rises between Bane and Batman, and there's cuts between the punches. And this is the first time we had really seen in a superhero movie one continuous shot of action, and it's not a bunch of cuts in between. John Wick had really done that too, and really kind of changed the way we had seen action movies before, where there was all these cuts in between.
Right.
This one sets up one continuous action scene with just different angles and those types of things. And like Matrix, John Wick and Matrix, both Keanu Reeves has been in two influential movies as far as how we view movies going forward.
No, that's true. Yeah, that's true. You know, he's been a great action star, and from everything I hear, a pretty cool guy, you know, and a generous guy and everything. So I'm happy. And again, John Wick was one of those, like you said, that was a DVD movie that got passed around. I watched John Wick off of a bootleg DVD that a guy at work's like, you need to watch this. Never even heard of it. And then I'm like, I can't believe how good this was. And then now it's been hooked. So that's a good point about Keanu Reeves taking some chances. We'll see if the other movie comes up. A couple movies he took chances on. One of the, you know, also, shout out to Keanu Reeves, 2-time Ohio State quarterback, 2 different roles, which is a wild stat. All right. So I got the next pick, right? What number are we at here?
6 overall.
Okay. So I'm taking another one. And this is another, I don't even know how to describe how important this movie is. How, like, in the world, you know, that I live in as far as science fiction, action, you know, like you said, angle, cinematography, sound, everything came together. This movie, like you said earlier, holds up. I'm taking James Cameron's masterpiece, Terminator. It's damn near the perfect movie. I still care about it. The only flaw is the time travel thing, but once you get past that, the time travel looks good. The fight scenes look good. Arnold's, you know, again, just perfection in it. You know, and it's still when we're mostly practical graphics, but also just like when you watch a movie, especially when we watched it back then, it's scary, but also some really good actions, a lot of good, like, you know, car scenes, you know, bullet scenes, there's sex scenes, like you got to have all these things. And again, you have to care. You know, Sarah Connor, you know, was fantastic in it. Just top to bottom, it's just one of my favorite. It's on the low level of action movies, but then when I really start thinking about it, I'm like, no, there's action bits from start to finish. Does it look like John Wick? No. But is it an action movie? And do they give us, you know, 15 minutes of great action at the end? Yes. So, and it's a shorter movie. So if you really look at the percentage of action, it's pretty good. So then you still have the suit up scene. You got the making of bombs in the hotel room. You got the traps. You got all these things that, you know, that you need for an action movie. And gratuitous sex. That's a big part about action movies. That's one of my favorites. So I took Terminator. Love it.
Good pick. Good pick. I was going to go there next. So I'm going to go with one from kind of a different, I'm going to go with one from a different era and a different time. It's an action movie, but it's a little bit different. I'm going to go with Gladiator. I think Gladiator is one of those movies. It's not the action movies like we've been talking about, but it's still an action movie. It goes back to, you know, medieval times and those types of things. So Gladiator is my pick with the 7th overall.
That's a great, it's one of my favorite movies. I just went back and forth. The only reason it didn't make my list was percentage of action, but I also agree with you. The fight scenes in it are magnificent. You know, top to bottom. And then honestly, what people forget about, because you always catch Gladiator partway through the movie, you forget that the opening battle is fantastic in this movie. Just people don't see it because they pick up Gladiator 20 minutes into the movie on TBS or whatever. But if you really start and watch the opening battle, it's fantastic. It looks good. And again, it's another movie. You got great villains. You care about it. The stakes are as high as they can be. It doesn't end. There's not a ribbon on it at the end. So I think that's a great pick. And I sort of regret not, it's on my list, but it's just not high enough that it made a draft.
All right. With the 8th overall pick, Jeff, you select.
So this basically replaces your Gladiator. I did the same thing. I'm like, I love it. This is one of my favorite movies of all time. It's probably top five. And I was like, is there enough action? But then I was like, I think there's enough action, but the type of action is great. It changed the world. This movie changed the world. I went with Jurassic Park.
Okay. Definitely. Okay.
It's the same thing you're saying, like, you know, about some of your movies of like everything was different after Jurassic Park. It's predominantly CGI, but the action scenes are so frightening. You care about everything. It looks great. And it's so groundbreaking. And I still watch it. I still care. I still care about the Raptors and the T-Rexes. And is everybody going to escape? And, hanging off of bridges and the whole thing. And I just I would not have felt good about myself if I'd have left Jurassic Park off my list.
Hey, great pick. One of my best friends is a huge Jurassic Park fan.
I'm the biggest.
If he's listening, he'd love this. Here's the thing, Jeff. You talk about I talk about this all the time with kind of the Dark Knight and the trilogy with the Dark Knight. You can watch each movie as its own, not have to watch the others. I really think that's how you could go leaning into once they start with Jurassic World. You can separate the Jurassic Park movies from the Jurassic World movies.
Perfect.
And
yes,
watch each
absolutely.
One as its own series, which is what I enjoy so much because you don't have to have known what happened in the first Jurassic Park necessarily. Now, there are some things they reference back to, but you don't overwhelmingly have to know what happened back then to watch any of the Jurassic World movies. And the fact that we've gotten into now Jurassic World and this part of it, Jurassic Park changed the game, like you said, and it went from animatronics, kind of like Jaws, to now the CGI that we've seen now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about Steven Spielberg too, like Steven Spielberg directing, and it's barely an action movie, but then I'm like, there's a ton of action, a ton of running, a ton of screaming, a ton of, so, and just, it's hard to explain, for people younger than me, what it was like to see a T-Rex chasing an SUV through the woods back then in a theater, but it was just one of the greatest experiences of my life. And
when I was a kid, I think it was Jurassic Park 2 when I was a kid. It's like
2 is okay. It's got they all got their own thing. They all got
when
their own thing.
The opening scene where the two dinosaurs ripped a guy in half. I think it's 2.
Because Jurassic World's probably
when I was a
better.
Kid, it scared me.
Jurassic World's a better action movie. The first one with Chris Pratt, but it's not as good. Because Jurassic, it was, it's like, it's LeBron Jordan. LeBron, there's nothing wrong with LeBron. He just happened to come second. That's the only difference. Like, somebody had to go first. Jurassic Park went first. Nobody can touch it. Jaws went first. Nobody can touch it. Like, there's certain things that are just like, there's nothing you can do about it. They just happened to go first.
There's a ton of action movies that we could go to here. And there's going to be a lot of pissed off people, Jeff, because I'm now going to put our third installment of the John Wick series on here for my final pick.
Oh, okay.
And I am going to go with my favorite John Wick movie, John Wick 4. And in my opinion, I think it's the best one.
I've heard it's good. I have no idea.
I think it's the best one. I won't spoil a whole lot for you, but I think the action, I think everything in it, it's so good, which is why I'm so mad that we keep going into 5. And probably going to get into 6 and that we're making spinoff series about it. Like, sometimes I think what makes the Dark Knight trilogy so great, and I've said this, is that there's 3 of them and it keeps you wanting a fourth one, knowing you'll never get a fourth one. I truly felt like it should have ended at 3 for John Wick and us always wondering, did he survive or did he die? And leaving that cliffhanger up there. I think that's something that would have made this movie last these made that trilogy last forever. The fourth one's my favorite one, don't get me wrong, so I'm glad they made it. But yeah, overall, yeah.
So I'm a little different because I see what you're saying, but I'm the other side of it as to where I'm always like, just keep making the thing that I like. And then if I stop watching, I stop watching it. Like if I ignore that it have, I'm with you because there's been several movies, you know, in my lifetime where I'm like, for instance, Rocky V needs erased off the planet. Like if they'd have stopped at Rocky IV, but then I think, well, what if they'd have stopped at Rocky IV? Sure. I don't have to live in a world to where Rocky V exists, but then maybe I don't have Creed. Maybe I don't have Rocky Balboa. And Creed was a fantastic movie. So it's like, you know, sometimes, or for instance, Star Wars, this will make you feel better. What if we don't get Rogue One because they just stopped with Star Wars after Return of the Jedi? Rogue One's a fantastic show. Then if we don't get Rogue One, you know, maybe we don't get Andor on Disney Plus, which is one of the great television shows ever. Now, do we got to put up with some Boba Fett to get that? Sadly, yes. So I'm like, I guess I'm a volume shooter. It's like, just keep making them. And then maybe all of a sudden you'll make the best thing I've ever seen.
And you'll know what I'm talking about because we've seen it too many times, but we also know how, and it all comes from a place of love. Like I want the John Wick movies to be held in reverence and in a certain standard. And I do feel like, and this is where my fear comes in, you can only make so many good movies until you make a bad one. And we've seen this too many times where a bad movie ruins kind of how everything before it is viewed and viewed since. And I don't want that for John Wick because eventually you're going to make a bad one. Eventually it's going to happen. It may be six, it may be seven, but six or seven could ruin the five or six before it and how we view it as an all time.
It's something you value and you want to protect. I totally get it. Like I totally get it. I never wanted to see Jordan play for the Wizards. You know what I mean? Like I don't, but then I'm like, you know what? If somebody enjoyed watching that, then, you know, that's on them. But I totally get what you're saying because you couldn't be more right about the example. I've been trying to watch the last Fast and Furious movie for about 3 weeks and I can only watch like 15 minutes at a time. And it's one of the worst things I've ever seen. But then I'm like, it doesn't. I just got to separate it. Not that I love Fast and Furious. I do love all the movies. Like I just enjoy that they exist because it's something stupid to watch and you turn your brain off. But this last one's not even good. So I totally see what you're saying. And I'm with you too. I'm as a passionate John Wick guy. I just love hearing that you say 4 is great. So then I'm like, awesome. Cause 3 I thought was fine. I'm like, with James Bond, like the last James Bond movie was really, really good. But if you're a diehard James Bond fan, like I am, it's not perfect. And I walked away a little like I kind of wish, but then I'm like, I don't get to, these characters live on forever. You know, John Wick will be, here's what's really going to upset you. There's going to be another, cause you're young. There's going to be another John Wick in your lifetime. Just in my lifetime, I'm on my fifth James Bond. So it's like, but you don't know what's coming along and you just got to be, roll with the punches or just ignore it. Like Rocky V doesn't exist in my world.
I'll end it with this and I'll let you make the final pick of the draft and then we'll do some honorable mentions.
Oh, I get another pick.
Yep, this year you'll get one last pick, and then we'll be good to go. Here's the thing, Jeff.
Perfect.
I'll end it with this. You talked about, I can't remember which movie it was. You talked about the experience in the theater. You couldn't wait for it. You saw it come out. I think it was Predator that you were talking about.
No, John Wick 2.
For me, John Wick 2. Yes, for me, that's how I felt about John Wick 4.
Gotcha.
The anticipation that built up for me for this movie, and it being the second movie I'd seen after COVID, and knowing how much I loved the theater experience, seeing a bunch of people in there with me, this was to me, Jeff, the experience I can only say there's three movies that I can say I truly remember the experience in my lifetime. The Dark Knight, which is why it's my favorite, one of my favorites of all time.
Yeah.
John Wick 4, and then Spider-Man No Way Home, and nice. How and all the feelings and all those things that came back. I can just picturing that time. I can go back and feel all those things. I love this movie. I love the experience I had at this movie. And to me, that might be why it's my favorite of all time.
We need to do a best movie experience draft sometime, because I've got about five of them that like Kong Skull, you know, Skull Island, Jurassic Park. I remember, like, you can remember sitting there watching it. Honestly, the Batman, as much as I'm down on the Batman, like, now looking back, for 45 minutes, I thought this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. So, like, it was still a great, you know, experience. John Wick 2 was great. Django, that's another one, another great experience. Like, I was like, I can't believe how good this is, you know, as I'm sitting here. So, yeah, all those. So I guess if I get one more, I had to choose between, let's just say, the two legends, the two guys that changed action movies, that set the standard, so on and so forth. I've already got two Schwarzenegger movies on here, and he's my favorite action star of all time, one of my favorite actors of all time. But I went a little different. I went with First Blood. It's Sylvester Stallone, I believe 1980, 1981. You know, it's a very serious story, you know, about a Vietnam vet that turns into an action movie. It's all practical action. You know, we're not talking any CGI. It's quick. I think it's 90, 95 minutes to watch from start to finish. But the storyline, especially for somebody who grew up, you know, the son of a Vietnam generation, you know, the story means a ton. Stallone is still dialed down to where he's really acting, not too far removed from Rocky, you know, the first couple of Rocky movies. And, you know, but also just some really cool stuff, some really cool, you know, effects and everything and dialogue and, you know, all the stuff that kind of bridges the gap between what the 80s action will become and coming out of the 70s with the more, you know, the more dark nuances of it. And, you know, it kind of just, you know, it bridged that gap between this and it started, you know, an acting career that has not been rivaled since, you know, with Stallone. And next thing you know, he's going to make Rocky 3, which just blows the cover off any sense abilities whatsoever. So when we do our sports movies draft, you know, maybe we'll throw that in there.
Yeah. For sure. And Jeff, that ends it, dude. That's it. That wraps
that
up.
That's a good list. Everybody go check out that list. It's a great action movie list. Have a great weekend enjoying that.
Yeah, no kidding. But some honorable mentions, I think Rambo obviously is one.
Yeah.
The Expendables. I kind of like them, but I do feel like they're one of those action movies that kind of lack storyline. Like, I feel like violence. I feel like there's violence just for the sake of it.
I don't like about those, just like Fast and Furious real quick, you know that, like, everything's gonna be fine. Yeah. You know what I mean? You don't really care. So that's what left any of those off my list. I didn't have room for that on this list.
And then one of my favorites is Speed. I love Speed. Not great. Speed 2, Speed.
Oh,
Speed 2. We can do
Speed 2 shouldn't exist. It's just right? Devastatingly bad.
Yeah, but Speed is one of my favorites, and I know fantastic. I'm not talking about the drug. I'm talking about the movie Speed. It's one of my favorites, and Keanu Reeves kills it in that.
And just getting to know Sandra Bullock, Keanu Reeves, the chemistry, like, they nailed it with that. Dennis Hopper just coked up at his wildest. Great movie, fantastic. And another one that changes things, that added to, like, okay, this is what we can do, you know, moving forward. They've been trying to capture the magic of Speed for decades, and very seldom do they do it. I think it was Denzel Washington, Jake Gyllenhaal movie was really good. That's probably the closest that we've seen to Speed. But it's just one of those magical, like, they just caught lightning in a bottle and ran with it. Great movie. That was on there. Of course, Terminator 2, you know, a lot of people think it's the greatest action movie of all time. I had that on there. I had Cliffhanger, another Stallone movie that I just adore. Taken. We didn't, you know, Liam Neeson didn't make the list.
How did I forget about Taken?
Taken, fantastic.
I will find you. and I will kill you.
Great, just great acting. And again, stakes. It's all like, do we care? Those are just a few. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I want to shout out to that just as far as a fun action movie. Yeah. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie at their sexiness. That was fun. And then a shout out real quick to Atomic Blonde. That was at the bottom of my list. But I love that movie. Charlize Theron was great in it. It's derived from a graphic novel / comic book. Just a great movie and fun. And I'm a big femme fatale guy. So that's just a few of them. And then Harrison Ford and The Fugitive. One of the great. There's not as much action in that movie. It's more escaping. So it's really not as much action as it is escaping. So that's why it crawled down my list. But as far as enjoyable movie, it doesn't get any better than that. So that's a few of the ones. And then shout out to the late Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves, and one of the greatest silly movies ever made in Point Break. The original Point Break.
For sure.
Just one of the greatest things ever put on cinema. You can watch any 15 minutes of Point Break is fun. It and Roadhouse. You can watch 15 minutes of any point in that movie, 15 minutes, and it's fun.
All right, Jeff. Well, that wraps up this movie episode. Don't worry. You'll probably be back on either next week. We'll probably work this out off scene or behind the scenes.
Yeah, let's do some more.
March Madness is kicking off. So we got to do our top basketball movies, or maybe we can find one in particular and we can kind of talk about it. Because I think there are some really good ones, and then I think there are some really like cheesy and bad ones.
I can tell you right now, my top basketball movie is not a basketball movie, but I'm going to be right. That's a teaser I'm going to give you for that.
All right. So for March Madness, we will do I don't know if it will necessarily be a draft, but we might just talk about some of our favorites and the things that we liked about them. Because I think there's too many. I don't think there's enough good ones to really kind of do a draft for. I think there's probably, in my opinion, four or five good ones, and then a bunch of cheesy comedy left behind.
A lot of unserious basketball movies.
Yes. Yes. And then there's the Disney movie with the two girls and the one battles for like an hour and a half.
Double team.
We
talked about this. You can't name a movie Double Team about two female basketball players. You can't do it, Disney. What were you thinking?
All right, Jeff, before you go, let people know where they can find you, what you're working on, all that good jazz.
Yeah, right now, after football, I'm a heavy football guy. Jeff Needs Help. I'm still doing some stuff. We got the OG3 going with me and Chris and Mo from the Off the Ball Network. I realistically slept through the last episode, a little embarrassing moment, but Chris and Mo killed it as always do. So stay tuned for that. Just again, follow the Off the Ball Network, guys like Stuart, you can follow Jeff Needs Help, for everything you need. There's going to be something on there. You like something on there, makes you mad, makes you laugh probably all at the same time. So Stu, again, thanks for letting me do this. I love talking about movies and things outside of sports as much as I love sports.
Me too, man. That's why I did the rebrand. And
you're killing it, man. This is fun. This is a good job.
I love movies. I love doing the movies. Hey, for those of you listening, we're going to try to get more coaches on, try to do some more interviews with coaches, pick their brains. For those of you football nerds, or even of those who just want to learn football, I think, those episodes really help. And I think those are some things, you can kind of pick apart and watch and be like, understand the game a little bit differently. That's why I do it. I also do it because I'm a little selfish, and as a young coach, I want to absorb as much as I can. So let's have the coaches on.
It's great stuff. You're making people who watch the game, like, you're doing the work for them. I always tell everybody, like, I'm not telling anybody they're not smart enough to watch football or don't pick it up. You just don't have the time that guys like me and Stu do. So we do some of the work for you and pick apart some of the nuances of it. And Stu, what you're doing with the coaches and stuff is a great job. I know there's things that, like, I don't understand, because modern football ain't what people think it is.
Yeah, it's tough. It's different. And let me tell you this, some of the people I've interviewed, like going back to Caleb Coral, the offensive coordinator now at St. Thomas University, the guy is next. And I'm not just saying that because he's been on my podcast, but he's going to land a Division I job at some point, and maybe a big-time Division I job. And he's going to be a guy that we talk about up there with the likes of Lincoln Riley and some of these others. I really do believe that. I think the guy's a genius. He'd probably hate me saying that because it's a lot of pressure to put on him. So please don't be too upset.
He wouldn't be in the business if he couldn't handle pressure.
I think he's one of those guys. You know, there's some others like Coach Mitch I had on last week. He's going to be really, really good. He'll coach at the college level, no doubt in my mind. Someday he'll get some offers. But yeah, for those of you who like that, check that out. Later on this summer, me and Jeff are going to do the quarterback countdown. I got a lot of draft content coming out. I don't really go through my rankings that much anymore on the podcast, but do follow me on Twitter because they are there on Twitter a lot. So there's all that stuff. And then, like I said, the quarterback countdown comes out later, you know, later this year, end of May into June. And
we need to start with a review from last year. We need to review from last year to start where we were right, where we were wrong.
Because there's a lot of bragging parts. I like to brag, but there's a lot I like to brag about. And so, yeah, but a big thank you to Jeff for doing this. Big thank you for all you listening. Have a good day, good night, good afternoon, whatever it is. You have a good one. We'll see you next week.